Lord, this morning, as we turn our attention to your word, I pray, Father, that we would have soft hearts and attentive minds, Father. But most importantly, Father, I pray that your spirit would be active in each of our lives, Father, how we need to hear your word, for your word is truth, Lord. I pray that you would guide us today as we walk together through the pages of Scripture. Let your Holy Spirit be our instructor, Lord. We thank you for him. We thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So be glorified, Lord, today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We pick up our study in this book at a time of great difficulty in the nation of Israel. They are at the end of the period of the judges, and they have been without a leader for several hundred years since the passing of Joshua of course, Moses. And the Lord, through that period of time, was raising up individual judges who would intervene, who would see God's deliverance given to Israel as they repented of their sin, came back to the Lord. And it was kind of a cycle over and over and over again, if you might remember the book of Judges. And we are at that point where the Lord is going to do a new thing, if you will, as he is preparing to bring Samuel onto the scene. In the book of Judges, at the end of the book of Judges, we read, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And as I read that verse, I thought, you know, how timely that is, because that's exactly where we are today. In our nation, in our world, everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. And we see the chaos and the difficulty that is spawned from that. And we should be giving the Lord thanks every day that he's given us an anchor so that we don't have to be in that place of doing what's right in our own eyes, because we have the one who knows us, who made us, who is guiding and directing us. And we want to do that which is right in his eyes. First and Second Samuel, the books of First and Second Samuel in our Bible, actually are one book in the Hebrew Bible. It was divided into two when the Old Testament was translated into Greek. But the reality is, we don't know who really wrote these books, because Samuel died toward the end of 1 Samuel. One thing we know for sure is that the author of the scripture was the author, the Holy Spirit. Who the agency was, the agency of man, we're not sure of, but he left us a wonderful testimony. I appreciated the word that was shared this morning about our brother Jim and how he was a man who loved people, prayed much for us. I always treasured his prayers. I knew he was praying for me, for our family, and for you as well. And yet, even though Jim has stepped into eternity, those prayers continue to ring forward. His influence continues to be real in our lives. And that's exactly what we see here in the book of Samuel. Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, tell of Samuel's service and his continuing spiritual influence in Israel after he was gone. So in verse 1 of chapter 1, we read, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." So we read the introductory words are, there was a certain man. And I like that because that's how God works. He just works through individuals who he touches, raises up for a purpose. Elkanah was a man that God was going to work through, he and his wife Hannah. And he was a man that was a Levite. We read about that in 1 Chronicles. Here it says he was from Ephraim or the tribe of Ephraim. That's where he lived. But if you follow his genealogy in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, you see that he was actually a Levite. And so this Levite had not made some wise decisions. As we see, he had two wives rather than just one wife. And that wasn't a good thing. That wasn't in accordance with God's design, as we see in the book of Genesis and read about in the New Testament as well. And then one of the things we need to realize is, as we read about things in the Bible, we need to realize that the Bible reports things, and the fact that it reported them doesn't necessarily mean that God endorses them, polygamy being one of those things. But God is going to use him in spite of his imperfection, and I'm thankful for that because it gives me hope that God can use us as well in spite of our imperfections. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, verse 6, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. So here in this section of scripture, it's the first mention of the Lord of hosts. The God of armies, as it could also be rendered, the God or Lord of mighty armies. This one who is at work behind the scenes, if you will, in the lives of these people. And Elkanah was one who honored the Lord. He went to Shiloh every year with his family to make sacrifice. Of course, they didn't have the tabernacle in Jerusalem or any of that at that time. It was in Shiloh, and it was there for somewhere around 400 years. And it's kind of interesting. If you go to Israel today, you can go to the Tell of Shiloh, the ruins of Shiloh, and they've actually constructed a kind of a two-story facility there. The top story is actually a theater, and they have a 3D projection which they put out in front of you, which shows you what they believe Shiloh would have looked like at the time that the people were going there. Very, very instructive. But one of the other things they did was, knowing how constricted the area was where Shiloh was, they weren't sure how they would get all the people to come to do their sacrifices during the feast and so forth. And so they began doing archaeological work on the hills around Shiloh. And what they found was campsites with a lot of kosher bones, because you see, the people could come to Shiloh and they could make their offering there while overlooking Shiloh, as long as they could see the smoke ascending from the altar, they were able to make their offerings. And so it was just kind of a confirmation of the location of Shiloh. But Elkanah and his family were going there to minister, if you will, to the Lord. And it tells us also that Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there. Now we know, as if you're a student of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, you know that Eli was not a strong high priest. He was not faithful. His sons were sinful. They were doing sinful things, as we shall see. So it was a very spiritually difficult time for the people of Israel. And God's about to make that change as he's working in the lives of this family. And it says that there that Elkanah came, he made his sacrifice, the peace offering, which you might remember from our study in Exodus and Leviticus, that the peace offering was an offering, basically a barbecue. The Lord got part of the offering, the priest got part of the offering, and the people who brought it got part of the offering, and they shared a meal together, if you will. And it says that Elkanah gave portions to Peninnah and her children. Apparently, she had several. And it says he gave a worthy portion, your version might say a double portion, to Hannah, to bless her, if you will, because she was barren. But it says she was barren by the Lord's will. You know, the blessing that Elkanah gave to Hannah didn't necessarily ease the hurt of her lack of a child, her barrenness. And it says that in that time, as they went to minister to the Lord and serve before the Lord, it says that Peninnah, her adversary, provoked her or came against her. You know, that will happen when we try and go to the sanctuary. Just what we heard this morning, that the adversary will come against us to try and steal from us our peace, our blessing, our joy, to steal from us that understanding and knowledge that God is working in our lives, even though it's a difficult time, a difficult season. Hannah had been going through this for some period of time because I said Peninnah has several children now, so it's been a number of years. And she's going through it. But you see, God had a purpose in these hard times and her barren womb. Now, Hannah, I'm sure, didn't understand. She knew that it wasn't Elkanah, because Peninnah had a number of children. So she knew it was her issue. And so, Lord, what are you doing? How many times have you prayed that? Lord, where are you in this? What's going on? How come this isn't happening, or how come this is happening? Lord, I don't understand. That's a phrase, I think, that's been said more in the last 2 years than probably in all of history. I don't understand, Lord, what's going on around us. It makes no sense. But then we look at it and we realize that God is going to use that and is using that for his glory and the good of his people. We don't have to understand. He's God, we're not. And we need to rest in his plan, his promise. In verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, being the sensitive guy he is, Hannah, why do you weep? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to you than 10 sons? Well, actually, Elkanah, no. Would be the answer. Now, we didn't get that recorded in the scripture, so that's kind of my take. But I know that must have been in her heart. I mean, she loved her husband, that's for sure. But it didn't ease the grief. And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, or deepest grief, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So Elkanah expresses his love for his bride, but he can't fix it. So Hannah knows where she needs to go. She goes to the tabernacle, and she gets into the presence of the Lord. She does the right thing in taking her grief and pain to the Lord. Now, as we're here this morning, every single one of us has a grief or a pain of some sort, that which we carry with us, which is troubling to us. It can be a small thing, it can be a big thing, but whatever it is, we need to be like Hannah. We need to take that deepest grief, if you will, and we need to take it before the Lord. Because as you look at Hannah's life, you realize the number of problems she had. Number one, her husband had a divided heart because he had two wives. even though he loved him. Number two, there was strife in the home, which, by the way, as you go through scripture, there always is when there's polygamy involved. All you have to do is look at the at Jacob's life and others. And you realize that God's design is always best. So there was strife in the home between Hannah and Penina. She wasn't able to have a child. She was barren. That's the focal point, isn't it? Lord, I just want a son. Lord, I just want a child. Lord, I just want to be married. Whatever it happens to be, God knows. God knew Hannah's heart. But you see, he was doing a deeper work there. He was preparing her. And the timing wasn't yet right. And then she has the fact that her husband is from Mars and she's from Venus, or whatever the name of that book was, because he's not getting it. As he comes to her and says, aren't I better than 10 sons? And so God is bringing her to that place where she is ready to offer her firstborn in service to God as a Nazirite. That's a huge step. And as we read through these accounts, we need to realize and understand these are real people going through real life situations. It's not just a story. It's an account. And we need to convey that to our children, that the Bible, as we read it, aren't just stories. They're not just fables. You know, in a sense, things like VeggieTales are not profitable because they teach our kids a message. We need to be sure, and our kids watch VeggieTales. The one I remember was Jericho, and I have slushy in my ear. I don't know if you remember that. Anyway, that's the one line I remember. So as we allow our children to watch those things, we need to come alongside at the end of those things and say, now let's talk about what the Bible says about what we just watched. And so we help them to know and understand that although this story is very entertaining, there is a deeper meaning and a deeper reality that they need to grow up understanding in their lives. So this one we call Samuel is going to be a Nazirite from birth. The only other Nazirite from birth in the scripture was who? Samson. And so an amazing call is going to be placed on this young man's life. And it came to pass, verse 12, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. That's what you call laboring in prayer. Laboring in prayer. Hannah labored in prayer. Now, she didn't pray out loud. Her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out. And so her prayer was still powerful. And one of the things it tells us is that there isn't a formula for prayer. We can pray in our minds or in our hearts, if you will. I find it's helpful to pray out loud because it keeps me focused, you know. And if you try, have you ever tried to pray in your mind after you lay down in bed at the end of the day? You get about 30 seconds in and it's curtains. But if you're talking to the Lord audibly, as we heard even today, about just having that kind of relationship, it keeps us focused. But she was focused. She was diligently seeking the Lord. And as Eli observed her, he thought that she was drunk. And really, that's a sad indicator of where they were spiritually, that would even be a consideration. That would even be a consideration of what was going on. Eli was in a difficult place. The good news is, even though Eli had his struggles as a high priest, we have a high priest that has no struggles. We have a high priest that's at the right hand of the Father, even right at this moment, who's praying for us, who's interceding on our behalf, who's standing in the gap between us and the accuser of the brethren. And that gives me great hope and great comfort to know that he's praying for me. I need all the prayer I can get, and so do you. But I like how Hannah responded. She responded in humility and in sincerity. In verse 15, she just said, "Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm just sorrowful in spirit." Verse 16, "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Man, Eli, I am just pouring my heart out before the Lord. Understand that. Because of what's unfolded in my life, the pain that I have experienced. "Count not thine handmaid as a daughter of Belial." She was so focused on that. And Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." So at that moment, Eli, even though he's in not a good place spiritually speaking, prophesies over the life of Hannah. God still uses him. And I appreciate that. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went after her and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hannah responded as she should have. She responded, rather than in anger, she responded in humility and in sincerity. And we, guys, we need to be quick to do the same. It's easy to get puffed up. It's easy to get angry when things don't go the way we think they should, when we're confronted about one thing or another, and even if it's something that's wrong, we need to respond in humility. You know, regardless of Eli's spiritual condition, God speaks to Hannah through him, and she says, "May it be as you said." You know, when you or I read a promise of God in the scripture and he quickens it to our heart, we need to speak that out. "May it be as you said, Lord. May that promise be true. May I embrace it and appropriate it. May it become part of my life." You know, Hannah received the word and believed the word from Eli. And what was the result? It says that she was lifted up. She left that place. She came into this place broken, right? She was broken because she so wanted a child. But the Lord speaks into her life through Eli. And all of a sudden, she's lifted up. And she not only is lifted up, it says she took food. She took sustenance. I love that picture. That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. We simply need to trust him. And if we will trust him and believe his promises, we will find ourselves fed. We will find ourselves encouraged and built up in the faith. In verse 20, "Wherefore it came to pass when time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow." We just need to stop and think about that God is mindful of his creation. I'd like to drop back and read verse 19. It's important. "And they rose up in the morning early, and they worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." I love that. The Lord remembered her. The Lord's mind was set upon Hannah. The Lord's mind is set upon you this morning. The Lord is mindful of you. The Lord, it tells us in Psalm 139, one of my favorite verses is that his thoughts towards us are more than the sand of the sea. That's amazing to stop and think about. The God of heaven, the creator of everything, thinks about us. He has us on his mind. And when they go home and Elkanah and Hannah come together, a baby is produced, even as God said it would be. And it says she named her son Samuel. That can be rendered actually asked of the Lord, or it can also be rendered heard by the Lord. She asked of the Lord and he heard her. What are you asking for the Lord to do in your life today? Just know that he hears you. And when the time is right, he will produce that which is going to be beneficial to his work in your heart, in your mind, in your life. It's true, and we need to hold on to that. You know, those verses, it says in the New King James, in the process of time. We are a people that don't like to wait. You know, you drive up to a drive-up window and it's instant food. You know, we want instant everything, instant. But God doesn't work that way. I mean, sometimes it can be instant. I mean, if he chooses to do that, our salvation is instant. Praise the Lord for that. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But that process by which we're made more like Jesus takes a little longer, like a lifetime. And the Lord's work in our lives is the same. His plan unfolds over time. We see that unfolding in our world about us today. I can't imagine watching what's going on in our world today and not having the hope and promises of the Word of God and his presence in our lives. I cannot imagine what that would be like. It's no wonder that people are so fearful. I had an interaction with a fellow this week regarding COVID. It was a passing interaction, older fellow. And he was not pleased with something that I'd said. And it was interesting because in the midst of that, I'm across the street, and he's talking to me from across the street, a lady gets out of a big truck. She has a mask on. And she turns and looks at me and she says, "Sir, I am so sorry." She had no relationship with us. And she turned to him and said, "Sir, you need to quit harassing people. You have the vaccine, you have a mask, you're fine." And I thought, wow, that was cool. Yeah. You know, but we see these things unfolding. It is a process of time. But one thing that stuck in my head from that conversation, I heard him say to her after she said that, "I don't want to die." But the reality is, sir, you're going to die. Every single one of us are going to die at some point. God's ordained our days. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's a reality. But praise God, we have hope, because our death is simply a graduation into his very presence. Wow. I mean, I'm looking forward to the rapture, but if he takes me before that, okay. Yeah, okay, let's do it, Lord, whenever you're ready. So in the process of time, God's plan unfolds in our lives. And that is important for us to remember too. As our lives unfold, if you're a praying person, if you're petitioning God for things, write them down. Write down your petitions and the date so that when God answers prayer, you can go back and say, you know what? I prayed about that 3 years ago. I prayed about that 5 years ago. I prayed about that last week, whatever it happens to be. But it's a reminder to us of God's faithful answer to our prayers. And he is a faithful God. He answers our prayers. I'm so thankful for that. In verse 21, "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, 'I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever.' And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, 'Do what seems thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word.' So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him." Hannah treasured her time with her son. Now, they usually wean their children at about 3 years of age. So she had 3 years to not only love on her son, but to pour into her son before she turned him over to Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, which was not a great prospect from a human perspective. But God had a plan in that as well. So she responded in such a wonderful way. And I love Elkanah's response. He says, you know what? You do that, and may the Lord's word be established. And we want to be exactly where the Lord wants us to be. Now, when you stop and think about that, that's a challenge. In verse 23, it says, establish the word, and the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. I love the fact that she brought flour, which is bread, and wine and meat. Flour, bread, wine, and meat. Flour, bread, wine, the juice, the cup, communion, the meat, the word. You see, she came to offer her son to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice on his behalf. And it says, the child was young, and they slew a bullock, verse 25, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. You have to enter into the emotion of this event. For Hannah, it was her firstborn child. For Elkanah, it was the firstborn son from Hannah, whom he loved, it says. And they're now handing their three-year-old into the arms of another person, and they're not going to see him every day or every week or every month. They all see him when they come to offer their sacrifices. That is huge. But their worship and offering were at great cost. I love that heart. David said the same thing when he went up to offer sacrifice there on Mount Moriah. You remember, he wanted to buy the threshing floor of Araunah, and Araunah said, I'll just give it to you. He said, no, I'm not going to offer that which to the Lord, that which costs me nothing. That's the heart of worship, to offer him ourselves, to say, here I am, Lord, you do what you need to do. And she says, I am lending him, he shall be lent to the Lord. That word lent could also be rendered returned. I'm returning him to the Lord. Such a great picture. By the way, that's that scripture there, that's exactly where we get the practice of dedication of children. They essentially brought their children to the Lord, their child to the Lord, and said, here, Lord, you use him for your glory. And when people have a newborn, they'll come and they'll have their child dedicated before the Lord, essentially saying to them, to them, those around them, and to the Lord, I want you to take our child and do what you want to do with him, her. And so it's a blessed thing. So they hand Samuel off to Eli, and the journey begins. And we'll look at that further on Wednesday evening. So why don't we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your faithful accounting, Lord, of your word. Not glossing over sin or eliminating it or leaving it out, but rather, Father, helping us to see. And I pray, Father, that our lives would be changed, Lord, as we journey together through this book. As we realize, Father, the environment in which Samuel will be raised and Elkanah and Hannah will live, a time when everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes, Lord, and we find ourselves in that place as well. And I pray, Father, that that would never ring true in our own hearts and minds, Father, that we would only do that which is right in your eyes. not in ours. I pray, Father, for those that are here today with heavy hearts, with challenges in their lives, because they are like Hannah saying, Lord, where are you in this? I pray, Father, that you would meet them, that you would meet that need, Lord, that you would fulfill that desire. Father, your word says when we delight ourselves in you, you give us the desires of our heart. And I pray, Father, that that would ring true in every heart and life in this place. You are the great way maker, Lord. And we give you praise for that. Help us, Lord, to walk faithfully with you day by day, believing you for your promises, believing you for your faithfulness, believing you, Lord, for your desire to mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus. May each one of us leave this place today encouraged and fed, Lord, because we believe the promise. And we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.